Well, this evening we're going to study Ephesians 6. We're coming to an end, but man, it is a epic ending. You know, at the fireworks, when the last one is like just the best one, and that's what Paul does with this, and he ends with, man, you better armor up and get ready for the battle. And so we're going to learn how to fight like a girl. And I mean that as a compliment. Now, have you faced battles? Sometimes physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally. There was a time when Skip and I were trying so desperately to have a second child. We were in infertility, doing everything that we could. And we got pregnant. We were at the 3-month mark. And we went to have an ultrasound. And we found out the heart had stopped beating. And it was a hard day. It was especially a hard day because Greg Laurie was in town to do the Harvest Crusade. And so a friend came with me to go to the hospital for a DNC, and Skip went to the Harvest Crusade. And when he got home, I was in bed. And he went to check the answering machine. Yes, that was when we used to have answering machines. And there was a message from his mom that his dad died. And it was a tough night. I just, even looking at Skip's face that night was so hard. I like to think that Grandpa took that little baby to heaven with him. I look back at that and think, okay, Lord, I'm all right with that. But sometimes there are just tough things that happen in our lives, right? We face some pretty tough battles. And last Sunday, a friend handed me a book. This woman had written an autobiography of her life. And I told him I promised I'd read it because she wanted feedback. And I went home and read it. And the woman, her story is she had been married for 14 years, 3 kids, doctor. She was well-educated, nice big house and everything. And they found out, she found out, after a weekend that her husband had been really drunk. And she said, you got to go to a counselor, that his real addiction was sex addiction. I don't even know when that term became a term. And so I was like, huh. I mean, I know it's a term, but what does that mean in practicality of somebody's life and how that would impact them in their home? And so he went off to this facility for sex addiction, and he sent her a copy of a book, and she didn't know yet. She thought he'd gone off for drug addiction or alcohol addiction when this book arrived, and he asked her to read it, and she reads this, so she realizes, and that really made her mad, by the way, that he didn't tell her a book did. And turns out there were levels of sex addiction, kind of like cancer, stage 1, 2, 3. There's level 1, 2, and 3. Didn't know that. But she was relieved he was on level 1, but listen to level 1. It includes masturbation, compulsive relationships, pornography, prostitution, strip clubs, and sex with anonymous men or women. Now, that would not be a relief to me that my husband was on level 1. Do you know that Satan hates you and has a terrible plan for your life? That's pretty much what Paul's trying to say in this text. And the world's getting darker and darker. Yeah? I'm not the only one that feels that, right? 40% of prostitutes are former child prostitutes that were illegally forced into the profession through human trafficking. Or they were runaway teenagers. It worries me so much about our teenagers. Like, some of this stuff just kills me. And they ran away because their homes were abusive. Dartmouth reports that children who watch feature films, just feature films, with racy scenes, engage in sex at a younger age, have more sexual partners, and participate in more unsafe sex. That's not pornography. The pornography industry is estimated to make $13 billion a year. It's a lot of dough. And they estimated that the average introduction of a child to pornography these days, you know, back in my day, maybe you found a boy under your grandpa's bed. That was about as close as you got to pornography. The average age these days is 11 years old. Man, because I know some 11-year-olds, right? Wisconsin, Illinois, Washington, North Carolina, South Dakota, and someone told me today that APS is trying to do this, is they're changing that whole transgender bathroom, that whatever gender you identify with, so if you were born a girl but you identify with being a boy, you can go into the boy's room or the girl's room or whatever. And it's turned into these epic battles because I don't know about you, but my little Katie, who's 3 years old, I do not want her going into a bathroom with a transgender male. That does not make me feel safe. And so, golly, are we really? These are the battlegrounds, the skirmishes that we're facing? So, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of it. I'm tired of just defending battles. I want to march into enemy territory. Seriously. I'd like to plant a flag. I'd like to draw a line. I would like to be aggressive and march toward the gates of hell instead of sit here and wait for the next attack. And that's kind of what Paul is saying in this text. He's giving us three keys to fight like a girl. Number one, we should scout out some things. Number two, we should stand out. And then number three, we should shout out. Let's look at our text, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And it continues. The first point is that we need to scout something out. And what we scout out and find is there's a spiritual reality. Do you know the spirit world is more real than the real world? God and heaven and angels and demons and the spiritual realm is a very real realm. It's the really real world, if you will. I had a friend at the funeral of her husband who committed suicide who said, I'm not a human being having a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual being that has human experiences. I want you to get that right. You are a spiritual being. If you are born again, you are a new creature in Christ. You have changed from darkness into light. You are spiritual beings. Therefore, you need to scout out and understand you live in a spiritual world that is very, very real. God is a spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well, he's a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Christians are spirit beings. We are these fragile tents that hold these gorgeous clay pots with a spirit in us, sealed. And in 1 Corinthians, we're told that this corruption must put on incorruption, and our mortality will put on immortality. Heaven is a spiritual place. It's a real place, but it's a spiritual place where there are angels and spiritual beings that dwell in the presence of God. And Satan is a spiritual being as well. And we learn that Satan has his minions. He has these rank and order of physical, spiritual beings that do not have physical bodies. As a matter of fact, that's what Job learned. That Satan walked to and fro before the throne of God. Have you noticed my servant Job? Do you remember Elisha? That he had been making some prophecies and the Syrian army was not very happy about that. Isn't that weird? The Syrian army is still doing things today. I mean, that should blow your mind. Because that's the Old Testament. And Syria was wicked then. Do you know, we should realize the spiritual world when on Easter in Pakistan, 80 women and children were bombed on a playground celebrating Easter. And in Palmyra, Syria, they just found in a bunch of Christian ruins a mass grave that are largely women and children, and some of them have been beheaded. Come on. That's wicked. Wicked stuff. Elijah, the Syrian army encircles his home. They're after him. They don't like his prophecies. And his servant goes out and he goes, "Oh, Elijah, we're toast." That's the NLT, the New Lenya translation. He realizes that this is really, really bad news. And so Elijah prays and he says, "Open the eyes of my servant." And when he opened his eyes, there are chariots of fire surrounding the Syrian army. And then he goes, "Oh, you know, the spiritual world is a real world." And in this text, we find we don't fight people. It says we wrestle with principalities and powers. You know what? You waste time struggling with human beings. It's Satan who wants to control people and oppose God's work. Maybe your battle is not with a person, but with a principality and a power. And you need to do spiritual warfare. So first of all, when you scout out, it's spiritual. Number two, you have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Therefore, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Devil means accuser, like he accused Job before the throne of God. He will bring hurling accusations against you from heaven. And sometimes you hear it in your own head. "You stinky, rotten girl. What makes you think?" Satan means adversary or enemy. And he definitely is God's enemy. And because you love God, he hates you. He's your enemy as well. Another name for Satan is tempter. It means he's seductive. And what his temptations intend to do is make you want what God doesn't want. Eve, Adam, just don't touch, eat the fruit. Hath God really said? Simple temptation. Number four, he's a lion, which means he's ferocious, he's loud, he's intimidating, and he would love to make you cower. He's a dragon. That's a fearsome, fire-breathing threat. He turns up the heat in your life. He's going to make it hot up in here. And he's a serpent, which means he's a sneaky, slithering, subtle snake who makes suggestions. And you get those suggestions in your ear. Go ahead. Go to the party. Have the drink. Smoke the joint. Whatever it is. Now, Satan wasn't always the adversary of the Lord. He used to be before God's presence. And there's two Old Testament texts that refer to Satan. So we understand. One is Ezekiel 28. And in Ezekiel 28, we find out that the devil really does wear Prada. No, I'm kidding. But he does wear bling bling. That's for sure. It says, "You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were the anointed cherub who covers. God speaking, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." So he's Luke Firewalker or Lucifer Firewalker. Luke for "You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And I cast you down as a profane thing from the mountain of God." Satan had it all. So if you think you just need more, so did Satan. He had it all. Unlimited access to the throne of God, freedom to roam in God's holy mountain. And he wanted more, more power, more access. It's insatiable. It's like Republican candidates for presidency. No, I'm kidding. What, 17 began this thing? I'm like, really? They all want it? So then in Isaiah 14, we hear about his downfall. It says, "You are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." Son of the morning? His nickname is Sunshine? "You are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." Do you see nations weakening? You who weakened the nations, you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The original sin, we've talked about pornography. Everybody thinks the original sin is sex. The original sin is pride. He wanted to be like God. You know, pride is like a good thing these days. Right? But not with God, because he gets laid low. So you have a spiritual world. Satan's in charge of it, but he also has subordinates. In Luke, Jesus tells us that what happened. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The way up was the way down for him. And he spreads his rebellion, because, you know, you got to get you some homies. Every thunk needs a gang. And in Revelation, it says 1/3 of the angels went with him. Wow. 1/3 of them said, okay, I'm in. Jude says in verse 6, the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their abode. So Satan has this posse, and this posse is divided into rank and file. That's pretty much what Paul is telling you. He says there's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. He's going through these different groupings of these demons. Principality means you have power over a land mass. Power over a land mass would be better understood like the chief of a tribe. We have Native Americans here. You have chief. Chieftains were very popular and are still in the Middle East. You know, most of the Middle East problem, you think it's nations, but really it's Shiites and Sunni and Yazidis and these different tribal factions that are pulling apart nations. So it's this idea of a power over a landmass. Let's see, you think Las Vegas has a principality? New Orleans, San Francisco. You notice how some areas kind of get this whole thing happening? So that's what Paul's talking about, a principality. Rulers of darkness suggest demons who infiltrate political systems. I'm like, yeah, I bet there's a lot of those out there. That would help describe Stalin or Hitler or Saddam Hussein or Ahmadinejad, that a political system gets so corrupt. Spiritual host of wickedness are probably demons involved in the vilest immoralities. These are really the naughty sexual practices and the occult. Now that makes it a lot worse when you dabble in some of these sexual practices. Vile. I read a newspaper article last week that in Washington State, a biker was going through one of the national parks and they found a pit bull hanging by its leash. Now that's awful in and of itself. And its little paws could barely touch the ground. You could see where it had fought for its life. The tree in front of it, you could see where it had scrabbled. But the worst part is they discovered that the pit bull had been raped several times before it was asphyxiated. Now you tell me what kind of wickedness lives in this world. That there are people out there doing things like that. I mean, how do you explain it? Really? It is inhuman, isn't it? So when I was in YWAM in the 70s, I was a part of Youth with a Mission in Honolulu, and we had a coffee shop on Hotel Street. Hotel Street was the red light district of Honolulu, and we would try and go out and witness. And there was like a block of adult stores, there was a block of prostitutes, and there was a block of transvestites, because even then, men were being women, and soldiers didn't know that they were picking up the men, you know, when they were on leave. And so you're like, they looked prettier than the prostitutes, I guarantee. And it was a wicked place. And so trying to witness to prostitutes is not an easy thing. And they told me that they wanted me to meet their pimp. And the pimp had named himself Lucifer. And he was tall, dark, and handsome. There are subordinates, and they're doing the enemy's bidding. So if you're scouting this all out, it's spiritual, it's Satan, he has subordinates, but there's also a strategy. A strategy. It says you should be wise to the wiles of the devil. Wiles means cunning, crafty, or deceptive. Now, Satan does not show up at your door. Hi, I'm the devil of darkness, and I've come to deceive you. Right? He comes through your computer or your TV or your books or your magazines or in some other way. And if it's the beginning, you think you can handle this. You know, one joint, you know, one prescription that I don't need, but I'll take it. It starts easy. You know, I read about a pet with the Romero family. Her name was Sally. She was a foot long when they got her. But when she killed Derek, this 15-year-old teenager, this Burmese python was 11 and a half feet long. You can't play with the enemy. You can't feed him and think that you're going to be in control. Now, Satan can't read your mind. There's one of him, and he's got some demons, and they can't be everywhere all the time like God is. But they do watch what you do, for sure. They're watching. And they're going to set up a trap that's just fit for you. And usually, the battles for the mind, we'll learn that when we put on the armor. But a question you could ask yourself, and you see where saints fell in the Bible, is, what do you want? Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Because I'm all like, who is that? Posh? I don't know. Spicy? Whoever it is. But, you know, ask yourself what you really, really want. Because when you answer that question, it's often what the enemy will use. Sarah just wanted a baby. That's all. And gave Hagar, and thus the Middle East conflict. Esau. For Judas, it was 50 pieces of silver to crucify our Lord. You know, a good thing can become a bad thing if it keeps you from the best thing. Even good things can become bad things. So you need to know it's a spiritual battle out there. Number two, as you're scouting that out, you need to stand out. It says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Good news. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. You can do it. And many, amen. And many of us have. I no longer do drugs. I no longer sleep around. I no longer get drunk. I no longer go to discotheques. That's who I was. God can do anything. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. And he wants you to know how. And the first thing it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, you can't do it alone. Christian life is dependence on God. You do not have enough willpower in your flesh to stand against the enemy. But with God, one is a majority. With God, you can do it. Even a little strength is enough. According to Huffington Post, a Bible saved a New York woman, a new North Carolinian woman, when an intruder walked into her home and slit her throat after she had returned from a Bible study. The 32-year-old woman, Lindsay Wood, said she told her attacker that she loved the Lord and invited him to church, and then pulled out her Bible and read to him for an hour and a half when he finally apologized and left. God can do anything. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And I'll tell you what, there are some people in your life ought not to be in your life. Submit to God, and they can flee. They can flee. I want to be the kind of woman in the morning when my alarm goes off and my well-heeled heel hits the ground that the enemy says, uh-oh, she's up. Because I want to be in Christ, in Christ. So we have a Savior, but we also have a suit. It says, take up the whole armor of God. Failure doesn't consist in stumbling. Failure is staying down when you fall down. Can I get an amen? Anybody here ever fallen down? Maybe you're falling down tonight. Do not stay down. Get up, girl. Pony up, girl. Put on your boots. Put on your heels. Whatever you have to do, get up. No one says you have to stay down when you get knocked down. Never. I don't care how big the bully is. Don't stay down. And so he says, armor up. Now, the armor doesn't protect you physically. It's a spiritual thing to guard your soul. So he lists this armor. First of all, it's the belt of truth. Why the belt of truth? Because Satan is a liar. As a matter of fact, it says he's the father of all lies. He's been lying since the beginning. He will lie to you. So you need the belt of truth. And the belt of truth, it was worn for the gladiator, for the soldier. It held all the other pieces of the armor together. And you know what? The truth will set you free. Anything that you keep in the dark, God cannot heal. But if we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, we will be healed. Anything you have to hide, you got to ask yourself about that. Why am I hiding this? Because it might not be truth that you're walking in, and you need to put that truth, that belt of truth on. Next, we have the breastplate of righteousness, because Satan is the accuser. Remember, he's going to hurl accusations. And the believer's righteousness in Christ will stop those fiery darts. Now, why do we wear a breastplate of righteousness? Because you can't accuse a believer who's walking in righteousness. There's no accusation to make. But also that breastplate, it guards your vital organs, doesn't it? So that none of those fiery darts gets to your heart. And you become heart sick. The next thing is we have our feet shod with the gospel. Why? Because Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I got to tell you, I wore my cute little camo shoes, and it was because, you know, I'm up here in a battle. God's humorous. This morning I was getting ready, like, yeah, I've got my feet shod. And I'm going through my house, and anybody have heaters on the floor that has those great things? My heel went down, Michelle, right into the grate. And it went, boom. And then I was like, I was like, uh-oh, the enemy's got a foothold. Oh, I got my feet shod. Oh, no, no joke. Pull up my foot, the grate comes up with it. So now, you know, picture it. You're like, what do I do with the grate on my foot? It's like the enemy had a trap. And so I was then like trying to reach back, you know, and do this. And I couldn't get it off. I had to take my shoe off to get the grate off. The point is, you probably need appropriate shoes when you're battling the enemy. Maybe high heels are not a good idea. And so the shoes that they wore as gladiators, they were wrapped with leather. That's why we have gladiator sandals. I'm sorry, it's such a fashion thing. And their shoes had like nubs of metal on the bottom. It's kind of like Nike treads, you know, those metal things like you could dig in, you know, so you could fight. Because the roaring lion and you want to run. And you know the best way to not get knocked down? Don't go on your heels. Because you will fall. If you get on your toes and you're dug in with those feet shod, it's like, go ahead, try and push me over. I'm ready for it. You know what I mean? That's the idea. The feet shod with the gospel, because a preaching Christian is a victorious Christian. And that's what I was saying. Take ground for the kingdom of God. Mess with the enemy in Jesus' name, that people would be saved. Okay, the shield of faith, because Satan is a fire-breathing dragon, and those shields would protect these soldiers. And the edges of the shield are constructed in a way that they interlock, like that one's this way, one's this way. They call that dovetailing. And you put them together, and then you have several of us up here, and we're a force to be reckoned with. Our shields, and we're doing this. because we're getting closer and closer to the enemy. And then they had these really cool maneuvers. If the fiery darts were coming, they could take their shields, lock them, and go whoo, and make like a great big giant shield. Have you ever seen that in a movie? It's cool, huh? So you could see your little group is like the great big shield. It's awesome. Helmet of salvation, because Satan is a deceiver, not just a liar, a deceiver. He wants those lies to take root. And then you go, yeah, that's right. And this too. And that too. And before you know it, you're saying, hath God said? Because the lie took root and you were deceived by it. You need the helmet of salvation to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to take every thought captive to Christ Jesus. And then the sword of the Spirit. It's your only offensive weapon, the double-edged sword with which you can slay dragons. And we know that that refers to the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Ladies, you need to be Bibled up. You need to have Scripture memorized, because when these attacks come, you're going to go, ba, 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 thus saith the Lord. When Jesus went in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, it says he was tempted three times. And every time Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The best thing you can do is quote Scripture and stand behind Jesus. Now, we're in unconventional warfare. This isn't like normal stuff. Joshua, when Jericho fell down, it was with shouts and a trumpet blast. Gideon took down 15,000 Midianites with 300 guys that had a torch and a trumpet. And Samson demolished 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. David toppled the giant Goliath with one sling and a well-aimed stone. And Deborah, the mother of Israel, was able to give wisdom to the army and say, lure them over here because there was mud there and 900 chariots got stuck in the mud. You and God can do anything. So you have a savior, you have a suit, and you have a stance that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Anybody read the book or see the movie Unbroken? If you haven't, see it, like now. Anyway, it's this guy named Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was an Olympic runner, and he got taken into the army during World War II. Do you know that his plane was shot down and he survived in a rubber boat for 47 days? And when he fell in the water, a shark came. He punched the shark in the nose, and the shark went away. I mean, this guy was amazing. But he really met his match when he was taken to a camp, a POW camp. And remember, they had this guy, this Japanese guy, the bird, and he just kept picking on him and hitting him and punching him and putting him in time out. I mean, like really bad time out. And so he just kept, because you are a big Olympic, you know, runner, I'm going to break you, I'll break you. And one day they were making something for the Japanese army, and they had these big wooden crossbeams. And he just got mad at Louis, and he told Louis, pick up this crossbeam and stand like this. And he told the guards, if he brings it down below his head, kill him. And there stood Louis Zamperini all day. He told God, I get out of this, I'm serving you forever. And he never broke. He never broke. You possess victory in Christ. You are more than conquerors. And you should assert your rights. Never surrender to the enemies. You stand on resurrection ground. We sang that. The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. You got tools, girl. You got skills. Resurrection skills, sword wielding skills. You got all kinds of skills. And then finally we shout out. So we scouted out, we stood out, now we want to shout out. It says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. What? All this is to pray. Oswald Chambers says, the armor is for the battle of prayer. The armor is not to fight in, but to shield us while we pray. Prayer is the battlefield. Oh, yes. Does God answer your prayers? Listen to some of the prayers of Jesus. To Lazarus, a dead man 3 days, come forth. Stormy seas, be still. A woman that had had a blood disease her whole life, be healed. An epileptic son who was thrown in the fire by demons, come out. And a paralytic, rise up. Prayer is a powerful thing. And when are we to shout out? Pray always. Did anybody here see War Room? I'm so jealous I haven't seen it yet. And if, see, now you're telling, see it. Okay, you watch Louie and I'll watch War Room. But anyway, my friend said, man, you've got to see that movie. There's this scene where this woman is in front of her house and she's going, devil, in the name of Jesus, you can't have my house. I mean, don't you kind of want to do that? That's prayer. That's getting out there. So it says, when should you pray? All the time. How do you pray? It says, with all prayer. And then it says, prayer, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving. Look, this is how we pray. To the Father, in the name of the Son, by the power of the Spirit. That's it. Simple. How? And then being watchful. Be alert. Because the disciples fell asleep when they were praying and Jesus was in Gethsemane. So he's saying, be alert. Prayer reveals that we trust his spirit, not our flesh. In our flesh, you might feel like you got to do something, but in the spirit, you let God do something. To the Father, in the name of the Son, by the power of the Spirit. So when, always, how, and what? It says supplication for all saints. We need to be praying for each other, ladies. There's where the victory is. MacArthur said, just as the Bible primarily calls us to pray about spiritual needs rather than physical, it primarily calls us to pray for others more than ourselves. So what does your prayer life look like? Is it all me, me, me? Or is it praying for those around you? Because there's the victory. As a matter of fact, it says that the Lord turned back the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You know, you might be held captive currently by disease, by death, by debt. All of those were in Job's, you know, bad list. And God healed him when he prayed for his friends. And then he got back everything and more than he ever had. So you might need to start partnering up. So ladies, let's fight like girls. Are you in a spiritual battle? And you now realize if you're in a battle with another human being, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. You're not wrestling with your husband. You're not wrestling with that coworker. You have a prayer battle on your hands. So I know this. If you've got problems, God's got promises. And if we go to prayer and we get partners, the world will never be the same. This church would never be the same. Your life would never be the same. Now, we have prayer groups that meet after the evening session. Hi, Deb, way in the back, our prayer warrior. You guys meet in the prayer room or in here? They meet over here. If you need more prayer tonight than what we're talking about now, go over here. I'll tell you what, that woman is a warrior. I mean like an Amazon. I'm not kidding you. You guys need prayer. You find someone who's got those kind of skills, prayer skills. Also, once a month, the second Saturday of every month, they meet here. If you need prayer on other times, come meet here for prayer. Because you got it. You got it. It's just a matter of waiting on him for the victory. Let's pray. God, I do believe you can do anything. You can deliver anyone. There is not a problem in this room that is too big for you, and that the victory could not be won in prayer and by your word to the Father in the name of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies, if there's anyone here, keep your eyes closed, your head down. If there's anyone here and you have pornography in your home, it may not be you, it could be you, but it may be someone else, a kid, a husband, anything. If there's pornography in your home, I would like to pray for you if you raise your hand, because I think that's spiritual wickedness right here. Anyone else? Right here. You guys, it is more common than you think, I guarantee. Here. Anyone else? It is rampant. Here. That's why I was crying earlier. I love you so much. Let's pray, ladies. Stretch out your hands. Oh, God, the mighty deliverer, deliver these. Rescue these, Lord. Take the spiritual wickedness from their hearts, their homes, and the ones that they love, and set them free. Give them wisdom, a path to victory, partners in the battle, Lord, that you will do mighty, mighty things, greater things than these, greater than we've ever seen, Lord, to pull down strongholds and every high thing that would exalt itself against your knowledge. Let them not be weary in well-doing, Lord. Strengthen feeble knees. Reignite them with a passion and with prayer. In Jesus' name. I'm pretty sure, just based on the odds, that there are women out there that have violence in their home. Shame on us for not talking about it enough, telling you how much we love you and how sorry that you have to go home to battles that are physical as well as spiritual. But if that's you, we want to partner with you now. If you have a physical violence in your home, could we just pray for you as well? If you'll just raise your hands. Anybody else here? That's an issue in your home. Odds are it's true. Odds are many of you have been sexually abused. It's just the world we live in. So if that's you, raise your hand, because we want to pray for you. We want to stand with you. God bless you. I know that was really brave. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. I want you to know you're not alone. You are not a bad girl. You don't deserve this. It should never happen. Never. But we're in a fallen world. But I love you, and God loves you. And these women here love you, and this is a safe place. It's a safe place. Lord, wrap your everlasting arms around these women. Heal them physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way, Lord. Father, help them to stand, and having done all to stand therefore. God, would you surround them, go before them, behind them? Father, give them courage. Courage to do the right thing when facing a bully. And you show them and you give them a way of escape. It says that you will not tempt us beyond what we are able, but will also provide a way of escape. Show these women the way of escape, Lord. In Jesus' name.